You know what, guys? I'm going to camp out some more here in Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3. We're not finished with chapter 3 yet, and we're not really going to move forward today. But we need to get to grips on this stuff, because I don't ever want this to be academic where you just learned some stuff today. You watched a video, and now you think you know a little bit more about God. This is personal, and this is deep, and this matters, and it ought to rock you. It ought to rock you to your core. These chapters are about God's judgment against sin, and it is real. Sin is real, and God is real, and God is righteous, and a righteous God is going to judge sin, period. There is no way around it, and it is personal, and it is meant to be taken seriously, and it is meant to be terrifying, okay? Now, whenever I say that, people are going to say, oh, you know, the perfect love casts out fear. Don't be so scared. God doesn't teach us, you know, not a spirit of fear, all this other stuff. And listen, all that is great, and it fits in the context if you have Jesus, if you know Jesus. But even when you know Jesus, even when you've given your life to Jesus and everything else, you are never to forget these things. That's why the Bible constantly talks about these things. That's why the book of Romans, which is the most systematic explanation of the gospel itself, spends three chapters talking about sin and judgment. Because you cannot appreciate Jesus. You cannot get Jesus. You cannot ask him to be your Lord and Savior if you don't understand what you're being saved from. And if you don't get it, then there's no reason why he had to die either. God's wrath is a real thing. God's judgment is a real thing. And sin is a real thing. And sin is a miserably evil thing. And its favorite thing to do is to pretend it's not real, to explain itself away, to rationalize itself, and to get you to think that it's not so bad. That is what sin does. It is deceptive. You will not surely die, Satan says about sin. It's deceptive. It is subtle. It is clever. And it will kill you. Okay? I want you to take that seriously. All right? If you're a parent, take it seriously in your kids. Instill in your kids the fear of God. It's the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of knowledge and wisdom come from the fear of God. Okay? Judgment is real, and you deserve it. And sin deserves judgment. Okay? Now, sin is all kinds of... I'm not a guy who just likes to go point and say, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. Oh boy, you're all bad sinners. Like, that's not my intention here. It's a warning, okay? They put warning signs at dangerous places all the time. They you know, don't go here. There's electric shock warning. There's a drowning warning. Don't run at the pool. You could plunk your head and fall in. Like, there's warnings for reasons, all right? The Bible's full of them. Jesus is constantly warning about hell itself. Scary. Oh, bad. We don't want to talk about that. But it's real. Okay, and it would be evil to not talk about it, because it would be evil to not warn people of their danger. It would be evil. Jesus spent so much time saying, "Woe to you! Woe to this! Woe to that! Woe to those who this and that!" All because so many things. Jesus, yeah, the Son of God, the love. Jesus loves you. You know, yep, Jesus loves you, and so he warns you. He warns you hard, and he warns you intently. All right. Genesis time, there was a flood that covered the whole world. It killed everything except what got on that ark. Okay, God's judgment is real, and his patience is real too. But it doesn't mean that his patience goes on forever. In the case of Noah, it went on until there was one righteous man left in the world, which is a ton of evil. All right, there was one righteous man, and God said, "That's enough." And God's coming back. It's not like the New Testament undoes all that, and that God's wrath is over now, and there's nothing, that judgment, it just all went on Jesus, and it'll never happen anywhere else. Judgment went on Jesus if you give yourself to Jesus, yes. But there's a day of judgment coming, all right? It's coming. And in the time of Revelation, there's going to be a judgment on earth. And read it. It's not pretty. All right, the blood of martyrs is going to flow. There's going to be a harvest of dead Christians. They're going to kill us. Okay, I don't know if it's going to be me and you. I don't know if it's going to happen on our time or not. But it's going to happen. It's going to be evil, and God is going to come down, and he's going to say, that's enough. I love my martyrs, but I've had enough of them. And now comes the end. It's going to happen. There's going to be judgment. And the world will deserve it when it happens. There's going to be judgment. And we saw chapter 1, there's this successive or regressive, whatever, process of people turning away from God and God turning them into worse and worse judgments. And the whole way down, all they're thinking is how what they get out of it. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for an image in the form of corruptible man, right? They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so their bodies would be dishonored among them. I mean, it goes on. It gets worse. There's going to be sexual impurity. Guess what happens after that? They God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which ought not to be done. Men with men committing indecent acts and women abandoning. Homosexuality is going to rise, right? You get one sexual perversion, you're going to get more unless you turn back to God. That might be politically incorrect and you might be mad at me. I don't care. The Bible calls sin, sin. And it says it will start off with what we call little sin. Sins just happen in your mind, where you start to think about worshiping and trusting in the created world rather than the creator. That's where it starts. And that doesn't even seem, whatever, we all live in a created world. Why shouldn't we put a lot of our trust in this place? It doesn't even seem like sin. It certainly doesn't seem like evil. And then as your mind is given over to these things, you're going to start doing what comes naturally because you're putting your trust in the natural world. You're going to start doing what comes naturally and thinking it is right because you're right and wrong. Your morals are going to be based on what's natural to you instead of what God says is right. So you're going to go wrong. And then guess what? When there's a lot of sexual immorality going around and everybody's celebrating that and writing TV shows about it and putting it on the internet everywhere, guess what? Other people with other sexual preferences are going to start saying, hey, what about us? Can we talk about what we like? And then they're going to do more of that. And they're going to demand equal everything for their sexual preferences. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And the whole way down, it's going to seem natural. And it's going to seem like, well, yeah, they're allowed to have their opinion. They're people too. And it's all true. But when you're looking at what comes naturally to you, you are not looking at what God says supernaturally to you. And when that happens, you're turning your back on God and you got an evil society, all right? I don't like being politically incorrect and somebody's going to say, oh, you're teaching hatred or whatever and God loves you. And yep, all that's true. And God also is a judge. And the book of Romans describes exactly how that judgment plays out. And it's bad. And after all that starts happening, they did not see fit to acknowledge God. God gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetous, malice. I covered it a lot in chapter 1. All right. Chapter 2 says you're without excuse. Chapter 2 says God wrote it on your heart. His law is written on your heart. It's not just written in nature pointing to God. It's also on the human heart knowing right and wrong. And he teaches us right from wrong. And we know it. And there's certain things that we cross the line and we know we did. Because God tells us. It's written on our hearts right and wrong. He says you're without excuse. And God is going to judge. That's how this works. All right? Now, like I said, I don't like preaching judgment. I don't like doing that. But man, wake up. Pay attention. What is happening in our country right now? How can you not believe this? Reading it in Romans and then turning around and watching whatever happens to be on the news today. It fits directly. I mean, my lifetime, I'm not even 40 yet, and I can just see it playing out. Those who are older can see it going farther back, obviously. Even the little ones can see it. They're paying attention if they know what to look for. Do your kids know what to look for? Do your kids know how to read the times, how to understand the times, and know what kind of men and women they ought to be. Do they know? Are you preparing them? I'm not saying it's easy, but man, it's necessary. All right? I'm going to go ahead and get even less politically correct. I don't care. It's not my job. Speaking personally or nationally or whatever, this country has been degrading into sin for a long time. And there are certain things, certain little thresholds that you cross, as we see in chapter 1 of Romans. where you can see that sin just kind of successively getting worse. All right? And the culture does it. The culture drives it, and the consumerism feeds it and eats it. And it's disastrous. All right? But there's certain things you can see. And most people will point at, when we're talking about the nation and the culture, most people will point at abortion. In 1973, there was a court case called Roe versus Wade, in which the Supreme Court of the United States made a decision that abortion is legal in the United States of America, and that states do not have the right to ban it. All right? Pennsylvania, my state, Governor Casey, 1992 and 1993, fought a Supreme Court case in which the state of Pennsylvania was looking at ways to limit this, and the Supreme Court said, nope, you don't even have that right. The Supreme Court, can't we just let this be a state issue? All right, so let's talk about abortion a little bit. I know it's a hot topic, and I know everybody has opinions, and you're welcome to have your opinions, and you're welcome to have opinions on how to fix it. That's great. And I'm not here to argue about that. But look, it has become just normal. 1973 was a pretty long time ago. I wasn't even born yet. Most of you probably weren't. I don't know who else is watching this, but the Facebook community is probably my age or younger on average. whatever. It's just become a normal thing. It's a habitual thing. Everybody knows it's there. Everybody thinks, oh, we need to get this Supreme Court nominee in there, and she'll end it. That'll make it enough conservatives on there. They'll end it. It's not going to end. If they overturn it, if they overturn Roe versus Wade, I hope they do. Man, that is the bottom rung of right and wrong. Innocent, killing innocent babies. Should that be nationally legalized or not? I mean, come on. If you can't trust your politician, if you can't trust somebody to get that issue right, how in the world do you trust them on it? Any issue, okay? I mean, whatever. I'm not supposed to endorse political candidates, whatever. But look, if you can't get that issue right, I don't know what in the world issue you could get right. All right? And some, what I don't know. but look, even if that passes, this is the corruption. This is how nasty sin is. Even if the Supreme Court were to overturn it, it would still be legal in all 50 states. Literally nothing would change if the Supreme Court overturned it. And they better, somebody better bring them a case, and they better overturn it, because it's evil to kill babies, period. Innocent babies, fine. You can want to make some little exceptions for certain situations. That's something they can debate later. But let's at least agree that this shouldn't just be blanket statement legal for everybody all the time, no questions asked. That's ridiculous, and it's evil. All right, but even if they overturn it, which is the right thing to do, it'll still be legal in all 50 states. So guess what? All 50 states have to pass their own little state laws, and some of them won't, because they love killing babies. And some of them are going to be on the fence about it. It's evil. God's a judge, and God's going to judge it. He's going to judge personal sin. He also judges nations. All right? Our commission is to go into all the nations. There is a special place in God's kingdom. The nations of the world are laid out all through Scripture. There is national significance to our nation and any other nation. Obviously, Israel too. I'm not going to say that we're somehow Israel. Every nation is a nation. And in God's eyes, He recognizes them. All right. He also recognizes you personally. So let's get our nation to its knees. Let's bring repentance, you personally and this nation nationally. And let's just start doing the right thing. Can we at least get a Supreme Court that says it's not nationally recognized? We'll at least reduce it down to the state level. Can we at minimum do that and then let the states be accountable for their own sin instead of just saying Washington says we have to allow this? I mean, it's ridiculous that would be a national issue. That's not anywhere in the Constitution, not even close. All right? And yet we still play games and say, well, you know, we need to be pro-life all throughout life, not just for babies. And so it's some kind of political scale that we weigh. Well, we'll allow abortions because we really like the way this thing goes later in life. You know what? Let's just not kill babies, and let's take care of people later in life, right? Our church feeds people. Our church prays for people. We have a youth group that takes the young people and is designed to lead them into godly adulthood, making wise decisions and stuff. We have men's and women's ministries. We do marriage stuff. We do all kinds of stuff. We're pro-life the whole way through. We take care of our widows typically towards the end of life as well, as they reach old age. Like, come on, we can do this. We can be pro-life from cradle to grave, and we can be pro-life for the 9 months before the cradle. And this should be obvious, and it should not be debatable. If you're a believer, period. Sin is sin, and God is a judge, and we need to stop playing games about gray areas, all right? And now I want to bring it into your life personally, because you probably didn't have an abortion. If you did, I want you to know that Jesus forgives you, and he gives you and offers you new life, okay? You probably feel guilty about it. Jesus forgives you. But you know what? Let me talk to everybody else, too, that didn't have an abortion. You're guilty of plenty of sin, too. And it's not enough to just look and say, well, as long as we get rid of abortion, everything will be fine. Come on. Where's your heart? Where's your mind? What kind of sin do you harbor in your life and make excuses for? I'm not trying to be mean, but look, we're sinners. And the Bible is very clear what sin is about. And it's also very clear that you're not supposed to have it in your life. And certainly not make excuses for it and pass blame around for it. We've got to get straight. We've got to get this right. Our nation is burning to the ground. Our nation has fallen into worse and worse depravity and sin and garbage. And it's evil. We need to say it's evil. And we need to start inside and turn it to Jesus. Okay? Our nation has turned. Well, okay, well, guess what? God's people need to turn back. And we can lead the nation back. All right, but we are on the brink here. Our nation is, our churches are. So many churches closed, so many churches falling apart, declining numbers for a couple generations running. We've got to start teaching God's truth, the whole truth. Righteousness, the stuff that scares and hurts and alarms people and worries them. Come on. Come on. If it's true, Jesus says the stuff, Paul says the stuff, the Bible's full of it from beginning to end. All right? Take it seriously. Don't just read Romans with me and okay, I know what it means. Yeah, cool. Now I'm smarter. I know what Romans says. I know what the Bible says. Great. You know what Romans says? It says it's not the hearers of the law who heard it, who heard pastor teach it over Facebook or whatever. You read it. Just hearing it doesn't do you a hoot of good. Coming to church every Sunday, it does zero for you. It's the obedient. It's the obeyers. It's the doers of the law. So let's repent. Let's turn to the Lord and let's say, Lord, forgive us for being content with learning some stuff and being educated. And let's be changed. Let's be radically changed. And let's pray for the whole nation to be radically changed. You're thinking about the whole nation right now, and it's important. But it starts with individuals. It's one of the great things about this country is the whole thing is run by us. We get to vote. We get to do it. So if our nation is in trouble, it's our fault. Period. It is not President Trump's fault. It is not Joe Biden's fault and President Obama's fault. It is not their fault. We voted for them. We elected them. You don't like the two guys up on the stage because they're a bunch of immature little kids arguing back and forth? Guess who put them there? Us. All right? So they're just a reflection of who we are. We got to get straight. We got to get right with the Lord, and we got to start being serious about sin. Lord God, have mercy on us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me personally for shrinking back from teaching the truth. Forgive us for falling in line and just getting